Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We are in the final hour of our session with Ray Stanford. We're talking about the encounters in and around White Sands, New Mexico in 1978. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast for the final hour, and I wanted to mention once again that we are going to be, by the time you listen to this, posting the various photos, illustrations on the Paracast website in our forums at forum.theparacast.com. We will be working with Ray to show him how to make digital copies of his analog tape recordings and post them as well. Chris.
Okay, Ray, we're about halfway through the event. You were describing your premonition that these objects were going to dock, and indeed they did. Now, what was Bob doing at this point with the camera? Didn't he take a really interesting time exposure?
Well, he took the pictures that people were going to see of them tumbling.
Right. Okay. Why don't you describe what you think those blue dots that are in that picture, what do you think those were? I mean, you couldn't see it with a naked eye, but they have to be something.
No. Well, yes. This, of course, is got to be a rather high-energy plasma. They could be related to torquing. In other words, these things have docked. And when you have two objects operating seemingly hydrodynamically, as well as probably control of gravity and so on and so forth, you're going to have initially some instability, even as when you look at the magnetic graphs, which people will be able to see for the turns, there has to be a time of considerable instability. Now, what the people are going to see there is, I think the maximum one that I sent you is 8 seconds. We know the exact duration of the whole thing, but 8 seconds. So this is early into the thing, and I suspect that these blue dots might be related to some type of application of energy for torquing stability to stabilize the rotation instead of kind of a wobbling rotation around the center.
In other words, like a stabilizer, some sort of stabilizer venting or something going on.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I believe that's what it could have been. There's no way for let me mention that people will have the opportunity, if the tape is not so bled through, you can't hear it, but I don't think so. I think it should still be good. This incredible rumble, there was total silence all the rest of the time. And this enabled us, by the way, to calculate the distance. Once we saw the correlation between the turn and the magnetic perturbations of their normal field effects, we were able to, by using the time lag between the visual event of the reversal of direction and the auditory event, you see lights there essentially instantly, but the sound takes you a while. Using the local speed of sound, we were able to calculate the distance of these objects, and using the arc subtended in the photographs, we were also able to calculate the approximate size of these two objects. They were identical, and the ellipsoid seems to have been, and they are very much the size of the Socorro object, or I would say around 18 feet long, probably.
Okay, now one thing that we need to do here, Ray, is we're talking about audio data here. Now, we need to describe, I think, to the listeners how you obtain this audio data. Your magnetometer has an audio function on it that is an analog tone. Why don't you describe the process of how that sound was generated?
Now the signals coming from the gravimeter and the magnetometer are going in. Now, they're being recorded at a level that, unless we flip a switch, we do not hear. This is called IRIG format recording. It's a format, a binary format of attack that the Navy uses in different bandwidth, but the frequency modulation, FM. But we also have there on the unit, we flip a switch, and there's a little speaker there, and it creates an audio frequency analog of the signal that is being monitored recorded in the other format. And you can actually hear, that's why we were so excited out there on the highway west of Plains for the first time. We were not only able to hear a UFO's magnetic field for sure, but we were able to hear these incredible instantaneous reversal of direction when they occurred.
That's what we're going to hear on the tape.
Oh, you're going to hear, no. We also have a regular tape recorder out there.
Okay.
With the microphone on it.
And right,
it
but records, that tape recorder is picking up the sound of the speaker and the magnetometer that is giving you the actual audio representation of the magnetic field change.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Okay. Just so people understand that, I wanted to make that clear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Continue.
I
sorry to
know
interrupt.
If we possibly do not have that on during the recording of the, you know, when they're making these sounds, because that would interfere. I'm not sure. It's been so long since we've listened to the tape. I don't recall. But even if we don't, you'll notice that there's no sound except us talking. And then all of a sudden, the sound starts. Let me say that it wasn't just a deep, throaty sound. My analog would be, and for everybody listening to this, probably, they've probably seen the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Well, there's some, if you went to a good theater with big old bass speakers, when the little boy was being drawn out through the pet door to be captured, taken to the mothership that was out there in the movie, there is this deep rumble, but if you had good speakers, you also felt your soft tissue vibrating like in an earthquake. Well, you not only felt this in your soft tissue, you felt that the earth itself was shaking. And this is why Bob was so, listen at that. I mean, I don't blame him. I mean, it's just overwhelming.
Okay, so we're halfway through the event. Let's continue in our timeline of actually what happened there.
Okay. Well, this whole episode of what I would call showing off their abilities continued. Do their little performance, and, you know, sometimes they would repeat. Usually they were a different arrangement. There were all kinds of these weird little deals they did to show that they wouldn't hit each other, I guess. And they'd go back towards the Coro. Now, why they kept going back towards the Coro, I don't know. But they'd go to the Coro and then make this streak so fast you wouldn't see it, but you could see it on film. Back to from the panels.
Maybe
and,
they were trying to see if Lonnie was around and show off for Lonnie, too, because it would make sense to me.
I suspect Lonnie was sound asleep at that time of night, but he was well off the police force by then, retired. But the thing is that I mean, we're just in awe, and you hear us talking about what's happening. And well, we described it as a ufologist's dream come true. And to make it all crazier, all of this is going on under a full moon. And, you know, we could have howled. It was so wonderful. But anyway, as it got on for... this went on for 35 minutes until 10 minutes, I guess, after midnight. It began, I believe, at 11:35, so I think it ended 10 minutes after midnight. That's all subjective revision, looking at the logbook that actually I have here on the computer. But anyway, whether, you know, whatever it was approximately 35 minutes. And then we didn't know it was coming to an end, but suddenly... They had gone back off. They were heading back off toward Socorro, as they had every time for 35 minutes. And on the tape, I make a strange statement. You know, memory is bad, and I can't say that my memory of it's 100% accurate. But on the tape, I say something like, "Well, you guys better enjoy it this time, because when they come back here, they're not going to head back towards Socorro this time. After they do their little performance, they're going to head off toward Holloman Air Force Base." Now, that's weird in itself.
No
reason to say it. It was irrational.
Exactly.
And my wife, who was one of the other two people, and Bob, you hear them agree with me. My wife says, "I know, yeah, that's it." And Bob says, "I'm like, yep, this will be it." And it does. That's exactly what happens. Now, my feeling was that they had completed their communications and maybe some kind of agreement, and they were going over to land and make contact at Holloman face to face. I don't know that. All I know is that they went over the horizon on a coordinate from our position.
Okay, that's your hypothesis. You think that they actually went to Holloman then?
I would guess that's what happened. You know, I have no way of knowing, but that was my gut. And, you know, the part was right that, I mean, imagine for 35 minutes they'd done this basic same thing, maneuvers and towards the Coro. They're going back towards the Coro, and I say this, and why do those two agree with me? I mean, it's bizarre.
I'll tell you why it's bizarre, because I can't get my wife to agree with me all the time, you know. So, yeah,
well,
I can say that's kind of bizarre. I don't want to get into the intimate details of your marriage and your relationship, because that's probably not germane to this discussion. What is germane is the fact that we are talking to Ray Stanford, and we're wrapping up this incident near White Sands, New Mexico from 1978. The co-host is Christopher O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, neighbors, have you been thinking about starting a website? Well, I'm going to tell you about a great offer from HostGator. HostGator is a world-famous leader in web hosting, and they make it easy for you to get your own .com domain name. You create your very own website with their free site builder tools and great selection of templates. Use the coupon code PARACAST. Once again, use the coupon code PARACAST and sign up at this special address, theparacast.com/gator. That's G-A-T-O-R, theparacast.com/gator. For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237 and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
You worry, but only because you're paying attention. What's happening in the Gulf of Mexico illustrates an audacity toward nature. A similar audacity called GMO, or genetically modified organisms, means that the quality of commercially grown food may be compromised with our health in the balance. Now that summer's here, what better time to learn about the bounty that nature provides in wild edible food? Let author Linda Runyon show you the best-kept secret in plain sight that food is everywhere you look. This summer, for the cost of a good meal or two out, you can literally starvation-proof yourself and your loved ones against any future craziness and put up tons of free food, too. Whatever experiment is being run on us, you can rest assured that Linda's 50 or so staple foods aren't involved. Our foods are their enemy. So go to ofthefield.com or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and take that first step. Make your oasis of food security and nutrition now. That's OFTHEFIELD.com or call 1-888-513-2837. Start now and make 2010 your year of independence.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
I'm told that it has everything.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you want to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out on iTunes.
We return to Ray Stanford talking about how he and his friend both agreed, and his wife both agreed with him. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. Chris, follow up, please.
Okay, Ray, this is bringing up Holloman. Now, this is new information for me. I don't recall hearing this what-if sort of scenario that you've just laid out here. Now, do you think that we should possibly do some sort of FOIA request? Can you do it?
Anybody's welcome to do that. I don't know what happened out there, but I bet you'd really get a runaround. But it'd be interesting to see what you might get.
We have a specific date.
Yes, we have the exact time and date, yes.
This is really interesting.
Everything that happened out there is on tape. For example, once they had headed off toward Holloman, you'll hear me taking the magnetic azimuth of where they would disappear over by Socorro and where they maneuvered in front of the panels, and at the elevation above gravitational horizon in front of the panels and the elevation of a gravitational horizon over at Socorro. All that data was carefully recorded before we actually took off for Socorro.
Aspiring field investigators, take notes here. This is really important. You have to write everything down. And Ray, I must say, you are quite the meticulous documentarian. I'm so pleased to be able to say that you have all this data and that you're even going to help share it with people and stuff. This is great. Keep going. Sorry.
Let me mention something. If one on principle doesn't want to feel that that my wife is agreeing with me, one can come to the alternative. I was informed by a PhD working in, at times, a very classified material for the government. In 1980, I was told that the, I'm not going to say it online, but one of the intelligence agencies had learned that if they can take a briefcase, put coils of wire in it, attach it to an energy source and an oscillator that oscillates at blank point blank hertz. And that if they do this and they bring it to a meeting with you, say they invite you out to dinner and they set it beside between you and them and turn it on, if they can get you there still eating and talking for over an hour, you'll become so hot, hypnagogic, you'll agree to anything. Well, maybe they weren't being psychic. I prefer to think they were. But it happens that one of the frequencies that frequently gets hit in the magnetic field of those objects is right there in the same frequency that I was told is used in this device.
Well, you said blank hertz. You can't give us a number there, right? It would be great to have that number.
I don't know beyond the decimal point. Okay, I'll tell you.
Well, approximately, how many hertz are we talking about here?
13 point something, between 13 and 14 hertz.
Okay, and there's a little clue for y'all out there. So a suitcase device with a coil that's oscillating, and for about an hour, if it's in close proximity to a person, it can entrain you into a hypnagogic state. That's very interesting. I've never heard that
before. That's what I was told by this PhD that informed me of that. And he's not the kind of guy that he's very skeptical, objective person, and he wouldn't have made up a story if he didn't know it for sure.
That's really interesting. I'm going to do a little research on that one myself. All right, so let's continue on here. Let's finish up our White Sands event. This is, like you said, I agree with you, historic. We have gravitational data. We have magnetometer recording along with an analog audio signal that's squelched, and then when you have these dramatic turns, you've got this wonderful sound that indicates the change in the magnetic field. We have light spectra data. I'm assuming you had some sort of blazing on the lens that allows the light to be split into its components. And we have a complete recording of the entire event, analog. And we have three witnesses with a lot of experience out in the field. Ray, this is amazing stuff. And why hasn't this stuff been published? Why are we hearing this for the first time, most of us?
I didn't want to use the term embarrassment of riches. We have that. You understand that what I'm describing here is nothing compared to the better stuff we've gotten. And you get overwhelmed and you get working on it. And back then, of course, I had a lot of money to put into it. The one motion picture film I've gotten, I mentioned back 12/12/77 in Daylight, very important film. Our corporation spent $89,000 studying that film alone. Now, of course, that the corporation doesn't exist, taken over by some fundamentalist Christians who decided this was the devil and wouldn't have anything to do with financing science, UFO research. But all the same, so I don't have the kind of money to put in all this, but I'm working very hard at it. But people out there will say, oh, geez, why didn't you wait? Well, my interest has never been in entertaining the public. It's to take your time. When people rush, they usually make mistakes. And take your time, know what you're looking at as well as you can know it before you publish. And this has much light has been thrown on this case by much more evidential subsequent films and recordings that we have gotten. It's a matter of there's a whole lot of things here that even changed my and others working with me, changed our outlook about the anxiety we had to prove to John Q. Public. Well, we've now seen the proof ourselves. We think our first duty is to science. Leslie King has done a good book, but I think she made a mistake in suggesting a government panel. We must go to science with scientists and their study.
Okay, let me just kind of backtrack here. Okay, in her new book about UFOs, Leslie King, who was on the PowerCast just a couple of weeks back, made the case with her contributors for a new UFO agency on the part of the U.S. government, maybe a Project Blue Book 2, perhaps. But you're suggesting, you know, we don't want the government to do it. Let the private scientific sector do it?
Yes. In other words, I see this is the reason I put together the incredible PowerPoint production that I have. I'm trying to get, if they will come and see it, key scientists. They don't have to have been in this. When they see it, they will know what they're seeing. For example, I would love to Michio Kaku, the theoretical physicist, to come see this. He's very interested in UFOs. But
have you asked him? Have you said, Michio, would you come and look at my presentation?
I have an email address that I've sent some mass mail-out letters to Kaku, but not this. In the first place, he doesn't know me from Adam. Predictable sources have laid it all over the net that I'm some kind of a kook because I used to work as a psychic with a research organization. And when they hear this, I think they kind of turn off. They don't realize, in fact, that people say, Ray, how do you get so many of these things? Well, why did I suddenly decide we had to go on the Highway 380 instead of the one we'd planned to take over there? Why did I feel that we wouldn't have anything on the highway that was on our map plan? And why did I change to the last minute? Maybe being a bit psychic helps.
Well, you know what? Maybe we should segue to that because we have only about 20-some-odd minutes to do with this episode of the PowerCast. And I remember your name and that of your brother's name in connection with being a psychic, a contactee, something like that. Would you be willing to address those issues?
Of course. I'd love to. I appreciate you bringing it up. Okay. Let's keep in mind that when I was, to quote the very distorted account that Vallée gives, a contactee, I was between 15 and 19 years of age.
And I'll tell you what, we'll get into that.
I'm 72.
The age factor, about the fact that you and your brother were teenagers when you were classified as quote-unquote contactees. We'll get into more of that in a moment. We have Ray Stanford joining us. We've covered this series of cases around White Sands, New Mexico in 1978. We hope to post some information for you on the forums at forum.thepowercast.com. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
The PowerCast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at WebTV.net. That's MrUFO at WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
This is not a drill.
Repeat,
this is not a drill.
Gun sales are on a staggering pace.
Gun prices are going through the roof, and that means desperate, vicious criminals now want your guns
and will do anything to get them.
Now, a new book reveals powerful secrets for hiding your guns from thieves and looters. You'll learn step-by-step, battle-hardened techniques, where to hide your guns so criminals will never find them,
how to create the perfect hiding place,
as well as the places you should never hide your guns
under any circumstance.
These and other closely guarded gun-caching secrets are guaranteed to keep your weapons safe safe and out of sight when the going gets tough. But listen up. For security reasons, the Hide Your Guns book and even the website may disappear without warning at any time. Go to hideyourguns.com. That's hideyourguns.com. Or call 877-327-0365. Before they come for your guns. Hideyourguns.com right now.
Right now.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Attention, an important product from HempUSA.org microplant powder will change your life by removing all types of positive toxins, such as heavy metals, parasites, bacteria, viruses, and fungus from the digestive tract and stomach wall so you can absorb nutrients. Microplant powder is 89% silica and packed with a negative charge that attracts positive toxins from the blood, organs, spine, and brain. This product has the ability to rebuild cartilage and bone, which allows synovial fluid to return to the joints. Silica is a precursor to calcium, meaning the body turns silica into calcium and is great for the heart. There is no better time than now to have microplant powder on your shelf or in your storage shelter. And with an unlimited shelf life, you can store it anywhere. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. It's a great way to change your life. So call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
On air, online,
and on demand.
They say we offer simple answers to complex problems.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
We have Ray Stanford. We're now going back through time to the 50s and 60s, where he was known, he and his brother, as contactees. I'm Gene Steinberg. Chris O'Brien is the co-host. You're in the Paracast. Okay, Ray, so when did this start? You were identified as a contactee. When all this starts?
When did it start? Well, it started on the 15th of October, 1953, when I learned that there was a book out called Flying Saucers Have Landed, which is, of course, joined by Desmond Leslie and George Adamski. And I went down to the bookstore and got it, and on that same day did a painting of the so-called scout ship, which I subsequently learned was a report on lampshade, I think for a gas lamp, I could be wrong, that had been bought from Poland with Adamski's mother when they came over when he was
two. So his photograph was a Polish lampshade.
That's right. It wasn't a vacuum cleaner lid or anything else that people have claimed. People see things that look vaguely like it, and you know, he says, that's it. But it's not. And even Damsky ultimately liked my brother and me and showed us how he faked the mothership photographs, for example. He didn't, I think, want us to get hung up in this. But you see, I got taken into the idea of space brothers that are giving you love and light messages and this kind of stuff. And we went down. Yeah, I was 15, and we went down to Padre Island in 1954, which I was 16, and the eight of us went out there, and then there were three policemen came out and joined us. That's all we had. We sent out telepathic messages, and whether it had any relationship or not, we saw UFOs that night, one of which was a dome disc, of which we succeeded in getting one photograph that actually came in, and it did kind of scare the wooly out of the police officers that came. There was a state highway patrolman, Don Hart, his father, a deputy sheriff, Ray Hart, and a deputy sheriff, Steve Woods, and I have a photograph of Ray and Don Hart together, him in uniform with the state police, and affidavits from Rehart and Steve Woods attesting to the fact that they saw this event on Padre Island. And yet, because certain people muddied the waters, saying, oh, this guy's a contact, he don't believe him, despite 11 witnesses with police affidavits and one photograph, it's not even, when you look at the literature on the websites of the cases, you'll not even see it listed, although it was the best documented police sighting in history at that time. Now, if this is kookery, it's contact deism, I'm fine. Now, I did encounter a couple of guys downtown at a theater in Corpus Christi that convinced me that they were aliens. But let's keep this in mind. We were being watched very closely by J. Edgar Hoover's buddies. They even, one of them flew all the way down to Peru with us incognito later. They told our mother all about it. But they were trying to set you up. I could go into the story that they would go so far as to try to kill you back in those days. But in this case, I believe that I was being fooled. They wanted me to look like a kook, saying I had met aliens, okay? It happened again in 1956 in Los Angeles. But whether that guy was one or not, I have no idea. At times, I feel like he was. This was after, I think, the FBI had...
Hold on, Ray. 1 second. So you think the second encounter could have possibly have been a
it
real...
Could, if there is such a thing as human-looking aliens among us, this guy might well have been one.
Why do you think that?
I don't want to get into that, but I think that.
Well,
I
you know what? Maybe let me ask you a question then. Why won't you get into that?
Look, why do we want to get into these things that I and you can't substantiate? Why don't we talk about the substantial stuff we've gotten? See, everybody wants to get off the track and to the loosey-goosey end of things, and I don't. I prefer to stay where we have data. I can confirm.
Okay,
what
so
I'm
how did you
about.
Get out of this contactee phase?
Well, I began to realize that UFOs were not the space brothers that Adamski claimed they were. There were cases that were pretty awesome. For example, now in, I think it was 61, there was Gregory Wells in Bellsville, Ohio. Gregory Wells, that was two witnesses, was shot with a laser beam right through his thick Mackinaw jacket, his sweatshirt, his shirt, and his undershirt, and suffered second, third degree burns, or first and second degree burns on his shoulder. Well documented, well witnessed. There was other cases, and then when we were still in the good graces of Adamski and the contactees, we were out there, and as I said, Adamski took compassion on us and confessed these things. He told us about his bootlegging operation when he had the Royal Order of Tibet, and how he could make wine legally, he said, because it was a religious organization for communion. He said, hell, you boys, I was the biggest bootlegger in all of Southern California. If it hadn't been for that goddamn man Roosevelt, I wouldn't have to get into all this saucer crap. And we took that in. So then
now, I won't comment on the quality of your Polish accent. Okay,
well,
Ray? So basically he admitted to you it was all a big scam, it was all fake. Did you ever publish that?
Yeah. Oh, yes. I went public with it right away. In fact, that's why, I mean, we get badmouthed by Carol Honey, who was Adamski's friend that published this thick book of claiming that he saw Space Brothers with Adamski. Well, when you read between the lines, and you know Carol Honey like I knew Carol Honey, you know that it's a lot of BS. But anyway, this is why we became hated. My twin brother and I became the most hated people in the contactee movement, because not only did we expose Adamski then, but we exposed Dan Fry. I mean, we absolutely caught him with his pants down, so to speak.
In what way did you expose him?
Huh?
In what way did you expose Dan Fry?
Well, okay. We had been invited. I was doing the speaking, and Rex was helping me with the projector, showing some of the films that we had gotten. And we were speaking for the Understanding Organization, which was the one that was founded by Dan Fry. And in the course of that, we were staying at Dan and Elma's house in there outside the L.A. area somewhere. I forget the name of the place. And one morning, while Dan was at work at the laboratory that he worked for, he was, I think, an electrical engineer. And anyway, while he was at work, Elma said, you know, I am troubled about something. She said, as I told you, you know, Dan claims he got this movie in broad daylight of a spaceship when we were out at the Giant Rock Convention. But she said, the circumstances surrounding it bother me. I said, what the heck? She said, well, look, we're out there, and he had put a good-sized box in the back of the car, and he said, don't jar this, it's fragile. Elma, don't open it, don't jar it, it's fragile. So I didn't, she said. She said, but we're out there a while, and he says, Elma, I've got to go take a leak over behind the hill. Well, there was a restroom right there. And if it was the one of the conferences, I think it was, there were porta cans or whatever they called them out there at that time. And anyway, he walks off with this big box. He came back. He didn't say a thing to Elma that he was even back. And over a week later, he brought in a movie film. And he put it on the thing, and Elma said, what's that movie film? He said, oh, you know what I told you, I went behind the hill back there to take a leak. He said, well, actually, I encountered a spaceship, and I took a movie. And she said, oh, gosh, you want to see it? He said, okay. He said, she got out the projector, and, you know, she dreaded, she had always done this for him, you know, when he was showing movies, anybody was showing movies, she'd set it up for understanding people. And she set this up and started running it at normal speed. And he said, wait a minute, Elma, you can't run this. This will damage the film if you run it at normal speed. Run this at the fastest speed it will go. Do you want to damage the film? And
right, if you run it normally, it'll damage the film. Right, okay.
Right,
this is a new one on me. Okay, so what happens when you run it faster?
By the way,
why does that make a difference?
This makes the difference. Well, I want to tell you the rest of the story first.
I'll tell you, before we let you do that, because we have one more segment of the PowerCast to go, and I want to get into details about this film, why it's run in fast motion rather than slow motion, and maybe
that's what I'm going to tell you.
Yes, and you're going to tell us, but first I have to tell our listeners.
That day while he was at work,
Ray,
and we ran it slow.
We got a break, Ray.
We got a break. Why tell our listeners? We're talking to Ray Stanford. We're going back through time when he was a teenager, when, you know, he was friendly or on friendly terms with some of the famous contactees like George Adamski, Dan Fry, and others. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the PowerCast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockaways, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
No one likes foreclosure. You won't say, think, or even consider foreclosure with ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. Why? Because ZeroDebtGuarantee.com guarantees to stop your foreclosure for at least 2 years with no payments, no bankruptcy, and no negotiating. Thinking loan modification? That still keeps you in default. Zero Debt in 90 days is the only proven system that keeps you in your house for as long as you want to stay, while making it possible to even get clear title to your house. No, we are not investors, bankers, attorneys, or real estate agents. We are a group of people just like you that are sick and tired of the housing crash, and we've helped thousands avoid foreclosure since 1993. Please visit our website today, ZeroDebtGuarantee.com, or call to see how we can help save you tens of thousands of dollars and save your home. Call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. Guaranteed to stop foreclosure.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
How do you spell hard-hitting talk radio?
G-C-N.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network.
This is the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
We have another session to spend with Ray Stanford, UFO investigator of long standing. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberger in the Paracast. And now we're going to talk about this film that you had to run at fast motion. Right. Why?
Right. Well, I'll tell you why. See, we ran it as slow a motion as we could go and stop frame there with Dan not being there with his wife, Elma. And sure enough, you come to this place, and the model was being suspended by a wire, a thin little wire. Or it could have been a nylon filament, you know, like fishing. Whatever you call those, I don't fish. But it slipped from his hand, and the model is falling down, and he grabs it, and when he moves his hand over to grab it, it tilts the filament or wire where you see the reflection of the entire thing by the sun, and he yanks it up, and then it stabilizes. Now, the whole time, it has a certain pendulum motion thing on the end of this wire. That can be calculated in and of itself to show that it's a small model. But the wire, it's obvious that it has slipped out of his sweaty hand out there in the desert, and he just had to grab it and yank it and get it out of where the wire was not showing. And when we showed, I mean, it's so obvious. So that night, there was a meeting in which I was the speaker, and I showed a movie film that I had gotten on September 18, 1956. And I said, now I know that all of you have heard about this wonderful, interesting film that Dan got out at the spacecraft convention. And so we put it on. And I have Rex running the projector. And I looked over at Dan at his book table. And beads of sweat are coming up all over his forehead. And Rex starts this thing running. And he literally leapt over the table, athlete style, ran over there and grabbed the thing and said, "It'll destroy the film. You've got to run it maximum speed." And I jumped down and put my hand over on here. I said, "Dan, no, just relax. I've been running these things probably longer than you have. It's dangerous to a film to run it at that kind of speed. You can get out of sprocket and just tear the emulsion up and the backing. And don't worry, we're going to run." And oh man, he looked like he was going to pass out. I said, "Just sit down. I insist on running this slow speed so people can see this whole thing. You know they're going to be suspicious. They're going to be suspicious if you want to run at high speed that you might be hiding something." And we ran it. And there was a nice couple there, whose names I still retain, that had been very faithful in making contributions to understanding. And I was standing by the book table when they passed out, leaving with Dan and Alma standing behind the table, and he said, Harry said, Dan, you know, if I didn't know you so well, I would swear that that was a wire model with tissue paper sides, and that the wire you had it attached to slipped out of your hand and caught the sunlight for a minute, and you grabbed it, and that you were trying to hide it from us by wanting to be run so fast.
Yeah, the Homer Simpson moment.
Dan began to jerk his shoulders. When he started lying, his shoulders would jerk up at high speed and drop back down, jerk up. He began to jerk his shoulders. He said, well, it's like I said, Ray, to Ray, I don't know what size this object was. It could have been as small as a few inches across. It could have been huge. I have no idea of the distance. He has binocular vision, after all. And so they went on. They went away. But Elma, she told us about other instances in which similar things had happened. They were at Doris Levesque's house in the high desert, and they're all doing visiting, just a social visit. And Dan had also brought a box he told her not to get into. Well, he said he had to go outside. He wanted to just roam around outside. So they're visiting, and he goes outside. He comes back in after a while, doesn't say a thing. After a while, a few days later, here's his packet of photos processed, still photos, on the table that he lays down when he comes home from Crescent Engineering. And Alma says, what's this? And, oh, I forgot to tell you, when I was out there the other night, when you and Doris and whoever else it was were inside, I saw a spaceship and got some pictures. And listen, these
I'm
are
beginning
really
to see a pattern here, Ray.
Yeah, right. These were, I mean, all he had cut was a crude outline of a dome disc and put a light behind it. It was so carny. But there it was.
He did worse than even Billy Meyer. Billy Meyer had the wedding cake photos, but Dan Fry couldn't even manage that.
That's right. He was a much poorer faker than Billy Edward Meyer, unless you're a good photo analyst and see what's the problem with Billy Edward Meyer's immediately. But yes, he was not very good, and you could see, as several people come in to me afterward, you could see the tissue paper vibrating up and down in the desert wind, glued to the metal, little thin metal framework he had it supported on to make the UFO.
So the evidence was even thinner than tissue paper.
Yeah, that's right. I would say that it was.
I love the ivory soap and the feathers story, too. That's a good one. Brother
Boko. That's a very good one, yes. Oh, I don't suppose you want to go into that one, but... yeah,
well, unfortunately, we only have about 5 minutes left. We just can't go into very much more.
Okay. Yeah. Is there anything substantive you'd like to get into, either about my evidence?
What are you working on right now, Ray? You mentioned that you're working on this very very intense slideshow presentation. Why don't you give us a quick thumbnail of what this presentation is?
Okay. It's a PowerPoint electronic slide presentation. It's comprised of, at the present time, of over 600 slides, and it includes wonderful evidences, including, for example, frame series from a movie in which you actually see a mothership that had smaller objects connected with it, daylight film. You actually see the horizon, the background horizon, the backlighting from that horizon that passes through the field of the mothership. You actually see the gravitational lensing, or the equivalent thereof, and you actually see the mountain down below it just at 54 frames a second at which I was filming. In 5 frames, it completely collapses flatter than a pancake. And then in 15 frames, it comes back up. It doesn't do this just once. It does this again and again and again throughout the film. But as you go radially out further, the further you get, the less it warps the mountains. And in fact, it actually causes the mountains further up to rise up and become taller than they were at the beginning of the cycle I'm describing, while the one in the middle is getting shorter. Also, the intensity of light. I do a analysis on the computer of the intensity of light across the screen, and you see that when it is collapsing this mountain, the light becomes, how it becomes spread and focused alternately. In other words, we're measuring and color-coding the intensity across the screen, and you actually see the light, as if you're focusing the backlight, and you're going to have that. You're going to have it spread out further when its things are collapsing underneath it, and it's going to get narrower and narrower and get brighter in the middle. But when you draw it together, these things can come back up. And that's exactly what you have.
Let me ask you a fast question here. This is a presentation you're doing in PowerPoint, right?
That's right.
Okay. Are you able to create a copy of this presentation that we could post on the PowerCast forums when it's
done? No way. This kind of stuff is for scientists. It's to be published in refereed juried publications if we can get it in there, and I believe that we can. This is why I want to get key people in with me. when I started my research in dinosaurs. I mean, I'm a nobody. But because I had good enough evidence of very important tracts that I got the professionals to work with me and help me in preparing the scientific papers, then you get into mainstream refereed publication. And I believe that I can certainly do this with this UFO evidence. Well, the time is not to put it out on websites or YouTube as the movies or anything like that. The time is to deal with scientists. I'm not anxious. I'm not, no offense to Paracast, but I am not interested so much in being an entertainer as an informer.
Now, when do you think you'll have this finished, this presentation?
It will probably never be finished. There's so much data, but it will be at the time when I get the right scientists working with me that we can publish this. And
So you're at a point now where you could present it.
I believe yes. I believe that I have evidence that it could be accepted in Nature, for example.
Let me ask you a fast question, Ray, because we're just wrapping this up. Is there any place where our listeners can check out your work or contact you if they have information to present to you about something?
I would generally prefer not to be contacted because you get all kinds. I mean, I've had people that have gotten my email address and they send you fake evidence trying to get you to fall apart and then they'll expose you as being incompetent scientifically. I just don't want to waste my time with people sending me bad information. And if they've got good information, they should describe like to somebody like to you, Chris, that is known to me if you have time to listen. And if it sounds worthwhile, then I might take a look at it. But
okay, so
in
that
so
case there, if we get
stuff.
The information, we'll just forward it on to Chris to look at first. And if it looks interesting, he'll send it
right.
to you. Chris O'Brien,
right.
Where do we find more of the things that you're working on?
Well, I do have a website. It's called Our Strange Planet. That's O-U-R, Strange Planet. We do live on a strange planet, and it's OurStrangePlanet.com. Of course, my latest book is Stalking the Tricksters, which tries to look at these wonderful mysteries in a new and different way. And, of course, I'm at the Paracast Forum. Last couple of days before taping here, I've been pretty hot and heavy on that forum, but that's where you can find me.
Ray Stanford, thanks for joining us this week on the Paracast.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Ray.
The Paracast is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNLive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNLive.com. Again, that's GCNLive.com.
The people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.